Welcome to the Minibate Gang Podcast, episode 320. I am Steve Borsch, and I'm on with that flapper Tim Elliott.
Looking for a good time here.
And Phil Wilson in his zoot suit.
That's priceless, Tim. Nice job.
And all for ships at sea.
I like the song. I like the music. What is that from there?
It's from SoundCloud. It's a guy that actually had done a mashup of several artists.
And very nice.
I thought it was really, it got tons of great comments. So I listened to it, and it's Creative Commons, and so decided I'd do it. You know, actually, one of the shows we've been watching, my wife and I have been streaming, is Miss Fisher's Murder Mysteries, which takes place in the 20s in Australia. And she's this liberated modern woman, and she's a detective. And it's a fun show, and the opening is great because it's got music just like this. So
Michelle is a detective, or no?
Miss Fisher.
Miss Fisher.
My wife. Yeah. Yeah, when she's in her spare time, she's out solving crime.
I would imagine.
She gets bugged though when I follow her around with my cape on.
Is that really what you want your wife to be doing in her spare time?
Yeah, exactly.
I got to go solve some crimes. Yeah. I love that. How was the week? Yep. I'm guessing that Tim was doing some digging on Target, and they just sort of dominated the headlines in IoT and all sorts of stuff, right?
Yeah, they got some good press.
Yeah. Well, they opened.
I'm not sure if this IoT showroom thing in San Francisco is going to move the needle or not, but it's an interesting,
So my question strategy. Is, why, San Francisco is very much a high-tech hub, could be considered a high-tech hub.
Well, first, could we just say what this is first?
Well, yeah, but why would you put this acrylic home that showcases all of these Internet of Things devices? Why would you put that in San Francisco? It seems like if you really want to get something going, you put it somewhere in the Midwest that really needs to know more about this stuff. I mean, I can't imagine the people in San Francisco are... They're inundated with this crap, aren't they?
Well, they are, but it's in that Metreon shopping center, and if you remember, that was Sony's showcase when they first came out, and they had their e-ink tablets, for their readers, it's sort of a showcase sort of place.
If you want to hit, Joe and Joanne six pack, you're not going to do it in San Francisco.
No, but I think that also, like when we went to the Verizon store in Mall of America, I was there with Julio and a bunch of other folks, and they went off on their whole connected to this and that, and it was great. It was a showcase, but also they got tremendous feedback and ongoing feedback from people saying, wait a minute now, you need to handle hubs because you've got all of this stuff in here and each one has its own app. And nobody's going to have 15 apps to turn lights on and do different things in their house. And that was feedback that they took to heart. And they are stocking stuff like SmartThings and Insteon's Hub and so on. And I'm sure that's why Target did it, is to get the, be in the game and get the feedback. And it seems early, though, for a mass merchant, don't you think, Tim?
Yeah, but it seems weird that you go into Home Depot and you see all of these things, too.
Right.
And that I don't think of, a Home Depot or Lowe's as being a technology place. I would think more of a Best Buy, so it's not surprising when you go into the Best Buy and see all this.
Yeah.
So Target's a bit of a stretch, but, the articles did say that Brian Cornell is trying to find that next home run kind of business for them to expand to. So I guess this is, one of the bets he's making on another home run. I personally don't think it will be. It's still way too early and way too geeky.
Yeah.
And no one's really come out with a something that regular people could control. So maybe Apple will have something like that. Maybe what Google's working on, maybe something like that. But I don't think that SmartThings or any of these other companies will make a something like a Target would mass sell.
Yeah.
But it's interesting to see them try stuff. It's better than, getting more Michael Graves stuff or whatever. Trying to revisit their old strategies.
Yeah.
You're trying to come up with new ones.
I don't know. I, you know, there's part of me that says just do what you do really well. I suppose,
yeah.
You know, if you got to, you know.
Well, they're doing that too, but well, they're yeah, trying but, new stuff, you know?
Yeah, I suppose. It seems like an awful expensive endeavor.
Well, the thing that irked me, and I forgot which story it was, but it was, I think it was that Recode deal where they talk about the three entrepreneurs in residence.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's just throwing money out the door.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, I like entrepreneurs. And, you know, if they asked me to be an entrepreneur in residence, I wouldn't say no, but I don't know. I just don't think that is going to make the difference for them. It just seems like something to do to impress people in Silicon Valley.
Well, you know what, though? I mean, just like we've always talked about that the best way to really understand a technology and build an intuitive understanding of it is to have one and to use it and to feel the space, you know, feel what it feels like to read on a tablet, for example, when they first came out, or have a smartwatch. Because if you just kind of wait until everything sort of shakes out, then you haven't done any learning. So I think it's a good thing to be in the game.
Okay.
Just poking around the edges and learning and all of that.
I guess I still don't think of Target as my place to go to buying new technology. I mean, if I need a comforter, yeah, I'll be there in a heartbeat, but
yeah. Well,
have you ever bought anything electronic from Target?
Well, sure. Every once in a while, they've got great deals. That's where I bought my Roku. They had it on sale. And
Tim, how about you?
We might have bought a TV there at one point, but it's been years. I mean, most of the TVs we bought were from, you know, either Costco or Best Buy.
Yeah, same here.
Right. So, yeah, maybe there might have been a deal way back for a little one, I guess. But I don't think so. My son got an iPad Air there a couple of years ago. Yeah, they had a deal where it was on, you know, Black Friday, and you had to
wait. Oh, yeah, yeah.
But you got I think it was a $100 gift card, something with it. So it was a pretty good deal.
Speaking of Black Friday, I'm sorry, this is just an aside. Did you guys see that ad for Amazon is having some big one day?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
July 15th, more Prime Day, exclusive for Prime members, I guess. Sorry about that. More deals than Black Friday on July 15th.
Yeah.
Huh. Stick something in the show notes.
Well, Target has the Black Friday in July sale, which is going on right now, too.
Okay.
Which is a similar idea, but you don't have to be a member of anything.
Well, and in the home furnishings industry, Christmas in July has always been a big promotion.
Right.
And, you know, because everybody's gearing up for back to school, so they've got all this stuff to blow out. You know, stuff that hasn't sold for the summer. In fact, I forget where we were. I was at Gander Mountain, I think. And I was stunned by how much they had in terms of short sleeve shirts and shorts and t-shirts and all that, all their summer stuff. I mean, just stocked to the gills with this product. And I thought, boy, they're going to have to blow this stuff out in a big way.
Hmm.
So,
all right.
Anyway.
MIT.
Huh? What?
I said MIT.
Okay.
We go from Target to MIT.
Yeah. Well.
Oh, the smartest companies list.
Yeah. Medtronic's on that list. I think they're smart about heart stuff and pacemakers, but what else?
Well, this is highlighting their, isn't that, wasn't this their
smartest companies?
Yeah, but isn't this the Ireland locale?
Well, that's where their headquarters is now. Yeah. No, they just did it as a company.
Yeah.
They're still kind of based here, though. They were founded here.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, interesting. I just looked at this. They just added a correction to the article. This post has been corrected to note that Medtronic was on the 2014 list, not the 2015 list.
So that's old news. Yeah, we're
moving. Yeah, forget about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry to catch that one.
No, they just, well, maybe they just updated.
Have they released the 2015 list?
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm sure it's still up there, I'm sure.
Maybe they look back on 2014 and see how smart they were over the course of the year rather than how smart they are in any given point in time.
Right.
So,
well, another story on our you know, their pals at the Business Journal put forth was this Minneapolis ranking fourth nationwide for digital health VC funding. I loved this because, you know, if you can map and match the knowledge that Minnesota has in the healthcare space, not just from a hardware, software provider and insurance carrier perspective, but certainly for startups, it just seems like this is good. This is going to be our sweet spot, I think, for technology is digital health. Don't you guys think so?
Yep.
Hey, we didn't talk last week, did we? We were off for 4th of July.
Yeah.
Correct.
That's
correct.
Right. So forgot about that. You guys saw that Coco's open on a new space.
Yes, absolutely.
We did. I think that was our next story, wasn't it?
Well, I don't know.
It is.
Yes, it is.
Wow. Talk about that.
So how far is that from where your BuzzFeed office is?
About a block.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's a nice little walk. In fact, I saw the article that, oh, well, I'll just walk on over there and see what's going on. They weren't there yet.
So. Well, of course. Yeah. They probably have some work to do before they open it.
Yeah, I guess so.
Well, but, it's funny because the, my wife and I went downtown and looked at a condo, this past week and cause we're, you know, looking at what's the next stage of life here and where do we want to be? And, the guy that was talking to us about their building that is going to go up a couple blocks from the Viking Stadium was talking about how all they're doing now is scoping out Northeast, trying to find places they can buy and tear down, or, you know, and trying to shift some ordinances that Minneapolis has in place because Northeast is the new hotspot. That's where everybody's going. And people want to live there.
Everybody just wants to follow us over there. That's all there is to it.
Well, yeah.
They're stalking us.
Well, you're a cutting edge kind of guy.
Well, I can tell you one thing. Northeast needs a little more parking.
Yeah, true. True.
That's all there is to it.
Well, get a segue.
Yeah. But I haven't been. Have you guys been over to the new engine offices then? Since Sport Engine moved out of that space that Coco moved into, I walk by that building or see that building, you know, every day, and I think, geez, I wonder where they're parking. It's tight. It's tight.
Yeah.
Well, maybe they all ride bikes.
Yeah. But yeah, that Coco space is owned or operated by the same company that does the space that we're in over there at the Broadway building.
Well, the woman who had been VP of marketing at Lawson Software when I was there, her office, we shared on a wall, her office is right next door, Angie Franks, is the new VP of market development at Sport Engine.
Oh, there you go.
And so we were actually going to get together next week, but she had a trip come up, so we're going to get together the week after. But it's interesting because she was CEO of Healthland, which is a...
A mythical ERP. Place.
Oh, yeah, a mythical place. ERP vendor for the healthcare space. So, but she's a great marketer.
Good.
So maybe I'll be able to see the space.
So, yeah, I think I'm having lunch with Don Ball next week. So we'll find out all about the new Coco space. It struck me as kind of like, that's not really all that far from the downtown spot. But then again, Uptown's really not all that far from the downtown.
Right, spot, right.
So. And if they can rent the space, they can, or, you know.
Well, he did say in the article that was their number one most requested location.
So, really?
Oh.
Yeah. So he's just going with what the people want.
What the people want.
Hey, go where the demand is.
Taking all that money they were putting into the Fargo spot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Well, I mean, there's a lot more people here, so many more potential customers.
Exactly.
Than there are in Fargo.
And that's a pretty great building over there, too.
Yeah. So what other big stories are going on? I know that Windows Phone and the layoffs, 7,300 people got laid off at the...
So Nadella's really pretty much taking down all of the Nokia business.
Right.
That whole handset business, it looks like it's going to be phased out. And so it's kind of interesting to see them changing their strategy to be Microsoft everywhere, sort of on... You know, having an applications focus, no matter what your phone is. So it can be iOS, could be Android, could be a Windows phone. But it's clear that, you know, long term, they're going to probably be out of the phone business or the phone operation operating system business, at yep. least.
Well, I got to tell you that I am really stunned with what they're doing. First of all, I really like Windows 10 Preview, but also I just have got a subscription. So I just downloaded the Mac Office for 2016.
Yep.
Because I was running the Preview, and this is really nice and tight, and I really like it a lot. And I started using OneNote as my primary management tool for our businesses, and so
that's good.
It's amazing that you know here I am, a guy that you know if I dropped a bar of soap in the shower and Microsoft was behind me, I'd kick it into the next state. You know, previously, because I didn't trust him, but I'm changing my stripes.
That's a hell of an analogy, dude.
Yeah, it was a bad one. It was a bad one. Yeah, I know, but it's true. Oh, God.
I love it. Kicking the old hypothetical soap down the shower.
But this.
Well, I think it's interesting that it's kind of like Microsoft going back to its roots. It's like, this is what we do. We build software. We don't build hardware.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think in the current age and in the future, you're going to have, you know, some kind of at least reference devices. So I'd like to see them in the hardware business at least at some level. You know, if they totally got out of hardware, even phone hardware, I think that would not be good for the industry. So, but it looks like that's exactly what the trajectory that they're on. The equipment itself is actually pretty good, and I'd like to see a high end Android handset. I'd probably get that. But we'll have to see.
But at the end of the day, there's so much innovation going on in Android and iOS that. You know, and that's where the developers are. So how do you stay equal to that unless you flip? And then this article from Tim Bajarian in Recode, is Android the new Windows? I think was just, I read this and just thought he's right on the money.
No, it is. It definitely is at this point. And I think that it would probably be a good strategic move for Microsoft to support Android directly. They are making a lot of money off of Android right now with their licensing. So, you know, why not just fully embrace it and put together a competitive handset? Because, you know, Samsung is pretty weak right now, and HTC is very weak. So, you know, on the Android's ecosystem side, I think they could make some. Make some inroads, and they could probably become relevant again. But it's clear that becoming relevant with a distant third place mobile operating system, first party, is not going to be in the cards for them.
So, so we know Samsung's revenues are dropping and their handset sales are down. And you mentioned HTC, but who makes Blue? BLU, is it Blue as the manufacturer?
I think they have. You know, they're like a contract deal, so they get Foxconn or someone to make them. But yeah, they design them themselves.
Nice phones for not a lot of money. And then there's Huawei, I think is how you pronounce
Huawei.
It.
Huawei.
Thank you very much. LG, Motorola, Sony is in the game, and
Sony is looking to get out. I think so.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, they make good Android phones, but it's kind of a niche, so. Yeah, we'll see some turbulence, I think, and there will be a lot of Chinese manufacturers that'll come in and sell very very good phones for very little money,
right?
And that will pretty much eat the profit out of Samsung. So they're definitely on the decline at this point.
Yep. Well, Phil, as a somebody that's deep and has been for a long time in the iOS and Android.
Deep.
In the shits and fruden or whatever. But as a developer, as a guy now that is managing the space there and the development projects and so forth at BuzzFeed, What did you think of this article? Microsoft to developers, we want your iOS and Android apps. Do you think that the things that they're doing from a platform perspective and a tools perspective is something that's going to turn your head and turn the head of your developers?
Nope.
Not at all?
No.
Why?
I don't know. Just I don't think the platform's that thing. I mean, it's just, you know, they're just not crazy about Microsoft. But that, again, that's the space that I'm in. I mean,
yeah,
we're developing, you know, everything that we use at the office is Mac, and everything, you know, the predominance of what we're developing, at least at this office, is or has been mobile, and that's Android and iOS. Mm-hmm. So it's not Microsoft, just really not on the radar, except maybe for the Android guys. So to some extent, simply because there's a lot of, you know, like Apple or Android TV and things like that. So
you don't think their concept of these universal Windows apps that'll run on Windows 10 and run on mobile, it will matter?
I don't know. I don't
see, maybe for tablets. Maybe so. The Surface. Yeah, maybe I don't know. Tablets.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay. All right. I wanted to get somebody's perspective who's actually has to make the decisions on what to build for.
And I'm, you know, as far as that, you know, the decisions that we make here in this office, you know, probably very much, you know, we you know where the ducks are. So it's iOS, it's Android, it's you know, it's online interactive.
Wait a minute, what analogy was that?
Where the ducks are? That's where everybody is. I mean, that's where everybody goes. Is, you know, that's the platforms everybody uses.
Well, no, so. I've just never. Never
you haven't ever heard that? That
never
expression?
Heard that. No, never.
Kind of
not once.
Folksy, don't you think?
But you know, where all the ducks are, the duck leavings are as well.
That's right. That's exactly true. Right.
But you know, it's like, you know, fish where the fish are, or you know,
right?
Yeah, you know,
that's sort of where the ducks are.
Yep.
Well, I mean, just look at the market. Like, I don't know, 6 or 7 years ago, it was you know, BlackBerry was on top. So. I mean, it could change. I mean, maybe.
Darn
maybe.
It. You've cracked our code. We're opening a new BlackBerry shop.
Oh, you are?
Oh,
really?
God.
Or not.
It's got a hell of a keyboard.
It's got a hell of a keyboard.
Yeah.
I wonder if Microsoft picked those guys up, if they could make a run for it. You know, because they've got that the car business, which is profitable, I think. And then they've got, you know, the server side, which is something that Microsoft knows a lot about.
Who's got the car business?
BlackBerry does. They have the number one car in-car system.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yep.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, they acquired
things
it.
The things you learn on this podcast.
I know.
Astounding.
I know. Well, Tim keeps most of it in his head. We got to kind of pry it out of there.
That's right.
Yeah.
So now we have the obligatory block of Apple stories.
Yeah, well, you know,
anybody see the you know, the Apple Watch review that was kind of getting a bad rap? It was like Apple Watch 2 months later. I can't remember what site it was on, where it's just basically
an animated GIF.
It's a GIF of a guy throwing his watch in the drawer.
Exactly.
Well, is that the case for you guys?
That seems harsh. No, I still wear mine all the time. In fact, I've got like a you know, a multitude of watch bands now. So,
well, wow. So two things. One is, you know, sales apparently are downturning a little bit, but also the accessory manufacturers are beginning to discount dramatically. So I'm starting to see deals on watch bands, for example. So I'm going to buy a few, but I still submit that there's so many useful things about it when I'm out and about that sometimes I don't hear my phone if I get a text message,
See,
for example. And that to me is the killer app right now. But you know, in terms of being able just to look at counting my steps or I want to see the weather or, you know, whatever it happens to be, I just think it's really not that I can't reach in my pocket and pull my phone out.
This is just the first step of it. I mean,
it's the first step.
Yeah. I mean, it's tethered to that phone right now, but I mean, even with the watch OS 2, it's like they're trying to move farther away from being tied to the phone. Again, it's not, it's not the next big thing, but it could be.
But it could be. Well, and you know, the I know we have stories in here about Apple's HomeKit. And the Apple remote running on my watch is useful. I mean, it's really useful. So how great would it be to be able to have the apps on there that you can just pull up and make things function through your watch?
Saw one of our guys do a presentation using the remote for Keynote on his watch.
Well, that might be a little tough, but...
No, actually, it did pretty well.
So. Really?
Yeah, I mean, it's just an advancing of slides, but, you know, it's not like you're seeing a preview by any means.
Yeah. Well, you know what? There's so much.
I mean, really, really small.
Really small. Yeah,
really small slides on your watch. Yeah.
Itty-bitty slides.
Well, you know, I don't care how much cash Apple has.
I do, because I'd like some of it.
Yeah, I know, me too. But this HomeKit, I am surprised they have not made more of a splash about this. I mean, okay, so Google's got Brillo, and Microsoft now has come out and talked about Windows 10, and they're positioning Windows 10 as, you know, the Internet of Things platform du jour. And so... I just wonder, I mean, who ultimately is really going to win this space? And maybe there'll be multiple winners. Maybe it's not going to be a single.
I don't think anybody will.
I think that what's happening now is they're defining the space.
So exactly.
I don't think there's any space to win yet. So it'll be interesting to see how it all shakes out. But it's the connected home piece is, again, I think it's like the watch. Is it filling a need, or do people really feel they need it? So,
well, yeah. I think connected home, it can fill a need, but people just don't know about it.
Right.
And unless manufacturers come in and say, hey, buy this $250 connected thermostat and save $600 in energy cost a year, I don't see anyone doing that. And that's really where the sale is going to be, where it makes sense to do it. Maybe it's $100 of savings a year or whatever, but eventually... You know, it will benefit you from a dollars and cents perspective, not just a cool, hey, it's a cool thing to, you know, change my thermostat with my phone.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it has to be seamless and useful. And, you know, one of the things that I got was a new sensor for the garage door.
And, you did get one. Good.
Yeah. And I talked about this. No, yeah. I was going to talk about this last week and we didn't have the show. But because the sensor that I had out there, it felt like I was changing the battery. Or did we talk about this?
Yeah,
was that my cool thing before?
We did, yeah. Yeah, and I told you to get a new sensor.
So my wife and I went out walking, probably, I don't know, 5:15.
Were you solving crimes at the same time?
Well, possibly. Maybe. Because we walked by one of our neighbors and we knew that his wife was gone. Wife and daughter had taken off. And he was home alone and the garage door was open. And
that's so the hookers could get in. What are you talking about?
Right. But I'd seen it at about, I don't know, 9:30, 10 o'clock at night and the garage door was open. Well, the thing had been open all night.
Uh-oh.
And, you know, I figured...
Well, how come you didn't get a notification?
Because I don't have a sensor on his door. He's too far away from my hub.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah. But that's the thing that
Steve becomes the watcher of the garage doors
in the neighborhood.
Right. Yeah, sensors on everybody's garage door.
Yeah,
Bob, your garage door is up.
But I'm going to buy another one because I'm going to put it on our third stall because that's where our daughter parks. And the other night she was going to go out and go for a quick jog, and so she left the third stall open, and then she forgot. And so I don't know. It was like 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, and I walked over there and opened up the door I always do before I lock it, just to make sure the garage doors are down and the third one was up. It's like, geez, come on. So
going for a run by herself and late at night? What the heck?
Well, no, this was like 8:45, 9 o'clock, so it was still light.
Oh, okay.
But she left it open, so it had been open a couple hours.
Okay.
Which means, you know, golf clubs and lawnmower and... All that stuff's history. Well, now.
Wait a minute. Whose golf clubs?
Mine.
Really? Someone stole your golf clubs?
No. I still have them. No, I haven't played now for several years. I just.
Seems to me you'd want somebody to steal those, get the money for it.
Yeah, right. Well, they are unbelievably expensive, of course.
They've got the wood shafts, I'm sure.
Yeah, exactly. you know what's really listen to this.
So your Mashie and your Niblick were gone.
Yeah, listen to this though. Michelle's dad, who passed away at 97, 3 years ago,
also a crime fighter. Yes.
Yeah, but he started playing on sand greens at Theodore Worth Park when he was a kid.
See?
And when he was 18, 19 years old, he bought a putter with a wood shaft, and we still have it.
Good.
He used that thing almost his entire life. It's just awesome. So that's one of the things I don't want stolen, so I'm going to bring it in the house. But
I wouldn't put that in the garage.
Yeah. Anyhow,
bring your Mashie and your Niblick. So
either you guys check out Apple Music?
Yeah, I don't get it.
Again, it's one of those things, I don't need it. I'm not even really all that interested in it. I know it's free for, 30 days?
Yeah.
90 days? What is it?
90 days.
90 days.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna give it another try, but I got to tell you, I love Pandora. And I know a lot of people love Spotify, but personally, based on what I like to listen to and how I like to listen, it's perfect. Plus, I like listening to it on our Roku because I've got that fed through our stereo system.
Yeah. Okay. Tim, have you spent any time with it?
I looked at it. I don't have an iOS device, so I just looked at it on iTunes, and it's interesting. And the radio station is, I don't know. It's radio seems like such an old thing to me, you know, like an old idea. And having a DJ, I mean, this is, I guess, Jimmy Iovine, and you know, he's our age, so he remembers back in the 60s and 70s when we did have DJs that did programming and were tastemakers. And so he's trying to bring that back, and it's a good effort. I just don't think it's going to catch hold, especially with younger people who didn't grow up with any kind of radio.
You know what's funny about that is the first time I listened to Apple Radio, it was the young woman who's one of the DJs, and she's talking to a young girl who's probably 10. And she's like, well, Mindy, are you going to be, you know, what grade are you going to be in this year? And Mindy's like, yeah, I'm going to be in, blah, blah, blah. And she's asking her all these sorts of questions. I'm thinking to myself, why am I listening to this? I mean, you know, even if I was 20, I wouldn't be listening to it. So to your point, you know, who's going to really do it? What do you think, Phil? I mean, you know, the radio business inside out, backwards and forwards.
Well, I mean, look, the success of any DJ or announcer or whatever you want to, obviously have jocked discs in quite some time, but it's one of those things that if you have a personality that can make a personal connection with somebody, and I think it's very difficult for very difficult for a personality on a global basis to be able to make a personal connection with somebody. I mean, what makes a DJ successful or a successful radio show is the ability for you to build a relationship and to be entertained. It's not the music. I think that, you know, if you try to compare the way music is delivered now to the way it was in the 50s and 60s and even 70s, heyday of radio and music radio, it's very difficult to do that now because it's all about self-discovery now, because then it was, right. you didn't have a choice. You found out about music on the radio, or you found out about music by going into a record store, walking by a record store, or, you know, when it started out early on, appliance stores is where you would get records. So that was the way you discovered music then. Music discovery is different now. So I think that the success of personality radio is based on the personalities, not the music that they play.
What's interesting is I was at an event Thursday night. It was a baby shower for cousins that live in Seattle. And there were all ages there. I mean, there were, you know, several young people, in their mid to late teens, and then a few married young couples in their early 20s and on up. And what was really fascinating was just during the course of conversations, we'd be talking about digital media. Somehow it'd come up, sometimes I'd bring it up. But I asked the question, do you listen to radio? And without question, it was anybody over 40 saying things like, yeah, you know, I listen to WCCO, or yeah, I listen to Minnesota Public Radio. Not often, but you know, sometimes. And then just virtually everyone across every age, and this is, of course, not a scientific sample, but everybody was streaming video and either skipping commercials on their DVR or just simply not watching live television unless it was an event like the Oscars or the Grammys.
Right.
And so this whole asynchronous thing, and even my wife said, you know, Steve, I watch more TV now than I ever have in my entire life. And I said, yeah, but the difference is we're watching it on demand. And she goes, yeah, that's, you know, that's a good point. We're watching what we want to watch when we want to watch it. And it's the same thing with music. So that's why when they did this whole radio thing, when they announced it, I was sort of scratching my head. I didn't get it.
Well, one of the comments on the story is that if they did the same thing, a subscription service for not only music, but also for movies, that they might be able to get $20 a month out of people. If you look at that proposition, I think, you know, maybe that does have some legs, because we're paying what, probably, you know, at least that much. I subscribe to Netflix and Hulu, and that's close to $20 right there.
Right.
And I can watch what I want, but only if they have whatever they have in stock at the moment.
Yep.
If they opened it up to everything on iTunes, so I could like watch, you know, even not the most current movies, but movies that have been released within the last, say, 6 months, and then all the back catalog, and pay $20 a month plus get the music, that might make some sense.
Yeah. Yep.
You know? So we'll see.
Interesting.
But speaking of movies, did you see the trailer to the new Steve Jobs film?
I did, and I couldn't get past the fact that Michael Fassbender looks nothing like Steve Jobs.
Yeah, it'll all be in the performance.
Of course, yeah, it will.
You're right. He doesn't look like Steve Jobs, even when he wears the iconic clothes and
at least glasses. Noah Wiley looks like Steve Jobs. You know, yeah, why they didn't get him? Of course, he's not young enough, but
well, he's not as talented.
Yeah, yeah, no, he's not as good an actor.
Yeah.
It looks like the bad Steve is in the movie, though. It doesn't look like good Steve is there. So it'll be interesting to see what
happens. Good Steve.
Yeah. What's funny is apparently it stops with the iMac introduction. So, you know, he obviously did a lot more after that. And the new trailer is not available on the Apple Trailers site. They have the original teaser, but not this new one.
Oh, interesting.
So I think that Apple's not super happy with the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
But,
wow. So the last story here for other top tech stories is this one about top cities for malware, and we're actually in it.
Number 18. Good.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's always good that we can get into a list like that.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Top cities for malware.
Sweet.
So we're 85% higher than the national average, but Tampa is 506% higher than the national average. Of course, they have more strip clubs per capita than any city in the U.S. So
who does?
Maybe Tampa.
Really? How do you know this Tampa? Fact?
Because my buddy Pete lives in Naples.
So I've heard.
Yeah, so I've heard. No, but he talked about how three of the biggest strip club operators in Tampa wanted to open up just north of Naples, and how Naples just went crazy. They wouldn't build any infrastructure for them or anything, and they ended up killing the deal. And so I thought that was interesting. But, boy, some of these, I mean, Salt Lake City at 223% higher than the national average. I mean, it's just incredible.
Well, you skipped over St. Louis, though.
392%, yeah.
I know. They're leading the Midwest.
Right.
You know, you have to get down to Madison at number 8.
Well, but here's the thing. How come they didn't talk about platforms?
I don't know. Enigma Software, this is the one that Graham found. I'm not familiar with these guys.
Well, the data comes from Spy Hunter, which is a malware security suite, but this is on computers. So it's not mobile devices. And I don't think they have a, in fact, I'm looking at their site now. They don't have a Mac version. So it's all Windows.
Yeah. Should we be worried that Washington, D.C. is in the middle of the pack here at number 12?
Oh, yeah, especially since a lot of the organizations are running XP still.
Yeah.
Remember they bought that, well, the Department of Homeland Security bought that rescue package for Windows XP from Microsoft for like, you know, $25 million. So they would keep it updated.
Yeah, so the Navy as well. Navy's still on XP.
Oh, are they really?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. Mm. You know what time it is, Phil?
I think it's time to release the horses.
Steve's security tip of the week.
Yes, it's another one.
From malware to security tips. Yes, doing our part.
That's right.
Here we go.
Well, and here's the thing. Here's the thing is if you are on Windows, Mac, or Linux, be very concerned.
Be very afraid.
My tip is for all that is holy, uninstall Adobe Flash now.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So you may have heard of the hacking team and how the hacking team was hacked. Everybody hates these guys. Not everybody, but, you know, if you're a dictator or a despot in various countries, the hacking team was helping them.
And I checked our stats. We have a lot of those people.
We do. Yeah. But their primary revenue stream, the hacking team's primary revenue stream, was enabling the security forces for all of these rogue nations to be able to spy on their citizenry and plant malware on their machines and so on and so forth. So obviously that's why they went after them. And the hackers that hacked the hacking team, downloaded gigabytes worth of files. And security researchers started digging through them, and Brian Krebs, the guy that broke the Target story and so on, discovered that the hacking team was exploiting a flash hole that hadn't been disclosed. And that's one of the ways that these were these machines of citizenry were being attacked. And so then Adobe found out about it from the security researchers, and they did a zero-day flash update, security update immediately. Well, I just went to Brian Krebs' site before we started the show here on Saturday morning, and Adobe, 2 days later, has now come out late Friday with a fix for another hacking team zero-day exploit that was discovered that's already being put into malware kits that are being sold on the black market. So the bottom line is just uninstall Flash. And you know what? If you have to have Flash for any reason, Google Chrome, the browser, has its own Flash player. And so you can easily go in and disable Flash. I'll stick something in the show notes here. But the bottom line is just uninstall it. My God, and I've also seen, by the way, some pop-up JavaScript boxes that look absolutely identical to the Adobe Flash Player prompt.
Mm.
They're the best I've ever seen. And the thing that's scary, because I'm running these virtual environments, so I don't mind going to test stuff in these virtual environments because they're isolated, quarantined from my main machine. And these pop-ups, you guys, I swear to God, I almost got fooled by one of them because it was so good. And it's scary. So it's really important to do that. If you've got friends and family and loved ones that you know are not that savvy, just uninstall it for them. I'll put links for the uninstallers in the show notes and then the info about Google Chrome. And that's my tip.
I was just also, I use Chrome almost exclusively. So there is a flash control extension that you can put in that will automatically disable Flash and allow you to enable it on demand. So,
oh, nice. Okay.
So you can check that out.
Yeah. Stick that in the show notes. We'll put that in there too.
Okay.
Thanks.
Okay.
All right. So we have to talk about cool things of the week, and Graham's not on here, so we can't talk about you know, electronic jammies or something, but maybe you have something, Phil.
Me? No, I don't have anything. I've got nothing. No, the cool thing of the week, which I still think we need some sort of intro for, but anyway, my cool thing of the week, I had an opportunity to sit down with Chuck Olson, and I think you know Chuck from Chuckumentary, VidTiger, yep. Has been doing, you know, video work for a long, long time. But he has a new company called Visual, and Visual is working a lot in the 3D virtual reality space, and they are working on a 3D social media app for virtual reality.
Oh, neat.
So, and that in and of itself is cool, but just the stuff that Chuck and his partners are doing as far as experimenting with virtual reality and, you know, virtual reality for the masses, whether it's the Samsung Gear or the Google Cardboard or the Oculus, I think that there's really some great stuff coming. And I think Chuck comes into it with a very, not only a social mind, but also an artistic mind, a creative. So I think that just kind of watch this company. The company is Visual. You'll find it at Visual,
VR.co.
Yep. And check it out. I think that there's really good things. And if you haven't really experienced 3D or, 360 degree video, do that too. And you can check that out on YouTube, because YouTube's player is now 360 degree enabled. So if you pop up
we're losing you, buddy.
360 degree YouTube video on your phone. You're losing me again?
Yeah, it sounds like you're Wi-Fi. Are you on Wi-Fi? Yeah,
your Wi-Fi or your Shouldn't Your internet be. is getting bad.
All right. Well, I'll try and sweat off and we'll go from there. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, we can.
You can?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I can't see you nod, so you're going to have to say, yes, we can.
All right. Well, actually, we did say it, but you were disconnected or something at the time.
Oh, sorry. Anyway, so no, it's really great stuff. So check out a 360 video on YouTube. And if you do open it on your device, you just move your device around and you actually look around a space. It's very cool.
Very cool. Mr. Tim.
Well, I've got a cool thing of the week update. It's back in, I don't know, March or so, March, April timeframe. We talked about the BBC Microbit, which is a single board computer similar to an Arduino or a Raspberry Pi that they're going to give away in October to a million kids in the UK. And they announced this week and they showed off their final version, which looks very interesting. They've added a few things. So they've got a motion sensor and some buttons, and the board itself looks pretty cool.
Well, I would watch it, but it says you need to install Flash Player to play this content.
Or use
Chrome, and I'll enable Flash and watch it and then turn it off.
Yeah, what's going on there? Right.
So very anyway, cool. So it's I thought it was a cool update, and it's very good cool. to see that they're doing this.
Yeah, that they're serious about it, and they're.
Yeah.
Yeah. No,
hopefully we'll be able to buy them too on the open market.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
They're supposed to be pretty inexpensive from what I hear.
Yeah. Exactly.
And you can run them on batteries, which is also kind of interesting. Couple of double A's and plug that sucker in and the thing will run.
Yep.
Excellent.
So there you go. So that, I thought that was cool.
Well, mine is something that my bride, she was trying to figure out what to do to charge her iPad, iPhone, and watch.
Her utility belt.
And then she also needs to use the battery charger USB through for her camera that she takes for these trade shows. And because she travels internationally, she has plugs and loves the fact that she can use US-based devices now, you know, like a Mac or the chargers for her iPhone and iPad. You can just use the adapter, plug them right in the wall because they're 110 to 220. But hadn't found a charging device that would charge her iPad, iPhone, watch, and all these different things simultaneously until I did some research and came across the iClever 6-port, 50-watt, 10-amp charger. And now she can plug in. And then I bought some, I'll put a link to these cables. They're these little, I don't know, 4 or 5 inch cables that are USB to lightning cables. And so it's, you know, you don't have to carry huge cables with you. But now she plugs one thing in and she can charge all her devices. And so I have one at home to plug our stuff in out in the family room because everybody's like, hey, does anybody got a charger? Now we can just plug in. So that's my cool thing.
How clever.
That's right.
Yeah, I got one that's not quite as powerful as yours, but was only like $11. So it seemed like a no-brainer.
Yeah, this is 26. But again, you can just plug it into an adapter and just plug it in the wall.
Yeah. No, what I got is a Lumsing. It's a 4-port one, and it has two ports two ports that do the, you know, iPad, whatever voltage, and the other two ports do regular phone voltage.
Okay.
So I just have a bunch of cords. You know, I've got a lightning cable on one, and I've got a regular USB on one for my Android phone, and I've got a 30-pin one for my wife's iPad, and it's really handy even if you're not traveling, for just to have it around the house. You've got one plug and it's in the kitchen, and you can just connect it up when you need to. So
well, when we went to Italy, we had adjoining rooms, and so the kids ran out of chargers. You know, they like, oh well, how do I charge my headphones? And it's like, okay, well, bring it in and I'll plug it in. I got an extra port.
Sounds like a first world problem.
Well, definitely. Yeah, because my wife also has those Bose noise canceling headphones. Those have to be plugged in USB. It's like, my God, it's just incredible. So
anyway, upcoming events.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything new?
You know, I don't think so. Yeah. I don't think so.
Okay. So check them out on our page.
All there is to it.
Sounds great.
Uh-oh, we're losing Phil again.
I think Phil's internet is dying.
Well, you know what?
But I know there are a few things coming up this week, and I bet you. Ah, crap. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're cutting.
Am I back?
You're cutting out again. You know, Phil, this is what they do when you don't pay your bill or you're under surveillance by the FBI. You start to have packet dropouts. So, you know.
Maybe he's probably be more. He's BitTorrenting something.
Yeah.
I'm pretty much sure it's because the kids are watching a video or something. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I used to yell at Alex sometimes when I had to be on a webinar or a conference call or something. And I'd say, do not under any circumstances stream right now.
Yeah.
Exactly. We can hear about Phil's internet woes next week on
the Minivate Gang podcast. Thanks, guys.
Have a good week.
You too.